This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn with me, Dashrin Johan. Undi 18, in collaboration with UNICEF, will be hosting the Persidangan Parliament Digital Dewan Muda Malaysia on the 9th of April 2022. Basically, this will be a virtual mock parliamentary sitting in which selected youths from across the country will be taking on the role of an MP in Parliament to deliver speeches and debate important issues in the country. On today's episode, I'm joined by a Parliament Digital participant, Noor Amira Aisha, or one of the mock MPs, and she will be focusing on the issue of sex education at the virtual parliamentary sitting. Welcome to the show, Amira. How are you doing?
Hello, Dashrin. Thank you. I would like to thank BFM for this opportunity. I am doing fine. How about you?
I'm doing great as well. I'm very excited to talk to you about Parliament Digital as well as the topic of sex education. Amira, perhaps you can start by telling me a little bit about yourself. How old are you? What are you studying? And which constituency will you be representing at Parliament Digital?
I am Noor Amira Aisha binti Zaifri, a Dewan Muda Malaysia representative for P055 Lenggong and Ministry of Youth and Children. So I am 19 years old and currently studying public administration.
Why did you decide to participate in Parliament Digital?
Parliament Digital, I decided to participate Parliament Digital because I believe that I will have the opportunity to discuss on various policies and also debate on current issues in real time with other youth. And secondly, I also have the opportunity to share my own innovative solutions for the betterment of others. In short, I think that I need to do something to ensure my voice will be heard, and DMM, which is Dewan Muda Malaysia, is the perfect platform for me to do just that.
You said you need to ensure that your voice can be heard, and that's fantastic. But, you know, you're 19 years old. Most 19 years old aren't thinking about, you know, making their voices heard in terms of politics and all of that. Is that something you've always been interested in?
Actually, I am very interested in politics. I think that 19 years old is the perfect age for me to do something for my future. I'm interested in politics. When I was a kid, I actually participated in mini parliament, and also I joined debate in schools, and then I started to participate in Dewan Muda Malaysia, Parliament Digital, and also Hackathon Politik. So in those programs, I gain a lot of knowledge, and I think that it's time for me to make my voice heard.
Do you think more young people should be actively participating in politics?
To be honest, I think that youth should, you know about politics. Politics, you know, the importance of young people being politically conscious and keeping up with current affairs. So, first and foremost, it is very important for youth to have a voice in politics because politics affect everyone, including youth. Therefore, I believe that youth voices are crucial in the policy and decision-making process of the country. As we all know that young people nowadays are actively involved in activism. They protest, they volunteer to improve their communities, and they innovate solutions for the benefit of society as a whole. However, their participation and influence on a national scale, politics, is still very limited. One of the consequences of having limited participation is youth-related issues will be sidelined and or treated as less important by the government. Therefore, I believe that young people should be given platform to raise their concerns, to share their thoughts, and to highlight their needs, as they are also the citizens of Malaysia. Most importantly, they are future leaders of Malaysia.
Amira, you know, for the longest time, even right now, right, many people, older people, Even sometimes peers, uncles, aunties, politicians themselves, a lot of times they tell that, you know, politics isn't for kids. It isn't for teenagers. You know, politics shouldn't be talked about in schools. Very young people shouldn't get involved in all of this. You know, you should just keep your head down, mind your own business, study. Do you agree with this mindset that people have?
I disagree with this statement, actually, because I actually experienced this situation before because someone told me to stay away from politics. But the reality is people can't run from politics. Many people do not like the political process, but human beings cannot possibly live without politics. The laws that govern society are made through a political process, which will be imposed on people who are aware and also unaware of politics. So the significance of young people being politically conscious and keeping up with current affairs is to ensure they become a knowledgeable voter. Also, in order to ensure they understand the political agenda and the problem of the nations. So youth are considered as the potential human capital in the future. So actually, I understand that the younger generations are getting impatient. They want to get out and they want to get involved in politics in this country. They think that there are, you know, some parties that always take advantage of the poor for their own needs. So the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. But we can never let them to jeopardize our future. So actually, the question that I always heard is, are young people too immature to be included in politics? So maturity is a subjective matter that depends on the individual himself, regardless of age factor, and it should not be used as a determinant of eligibility to speak and vote. So when young people rise up, this generation has the opportunity to bring about lasting change. Then I strongly believe that a country that fails to listen to the voices of young people is a country that cannot prove its own future.
You know, Undi 18 was recently gazetted at the previous Johor elections. It was the first time 18 to 21-year-olds could vote. Were you excited when Undi 18 was finally gazetted? How do you feel about that?
Actually, I am very glad. I am very excited, happy, because Undi 18 put so much effort to make the age from 21 to 18.
Right.
So when I actually being a voter, so I have the opportunity to make my own decision to know that which government that I wanted and also for my future.
Absolutely. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Amira, but you are, you know, in Dewan Muda Malaysia, there are ministries and things like that. Are you part of like the Ministry of Children and Youth, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I am from Ministry of Children and Youth in Dewan Muda Malaysia.
Okay. So do you, when we look at that, right, when we look at our current real life cabinet lineup, there's no Ministry of Children and Youth, right? There's a Ministry of Women and Family Development, and then for some reason, they combine youth and sports into one ministry like that.
Yeah.
So do you think that in our real cabinet lineup, there needs to be a Ministry of Children and Youth? And if so, why?
I personally think that we need a Ministry of Children and Youth in our cabinet lineup. For example, in New Zealand, they have Ministry of Children. So the services to protect children and young people include working with children, young people and their families, funding organizations to support communities to protect and help children. In fact, on 22nd of August 2021, YB Hanahyo has recommended to government to create a new ministry specifically to look after the needs of the children in the country as soon as possible. But do people know why this matter was delayed and not getting attention? Because children are not public voters. So it is time for us to prioritize our children and youth. So the vision we offer our children and shape the future. And I believe that they are our future.
Absolutely. Now, Amira, you will be focusing on sex education during Parliament Digital. Parliament Digital participants were given two issues. They can choose either one to focus on. One of it is flood mitigation and the other is sex education. You chose sex education. Why is this issue important to you?
When we talk about sex education, what holds us back is the stigma link with sex education. Until now, there are so many people who are not familiar with the term sexual harassment. They cannot differentiate between what is sexual harassment, sexual exploitation, sexual abuse, sexual grooming, and so on. Moreover, according to the Royal Malaysian Police, PDRM, there were 11,914 sexual harassment cases in the past 4 years, 2018 to August 2021 in Malaysia. So it's estimated that 6 children and adolescents become victims of sexual crimes every day in Malaysia. In addition, a culture of silence, more cases go unreported. Therefore, I believe that this issue should be widely talked about, and hence the reason why I selected this topic.
Right. And what can you tell us about the landscape of Malaysia as far as sexual awareness is concerned?
In my opinion, sexual harassment campaigns have been enhanced to distribute information and healthcare facilities for sexuality health promotion. However, these efforts have not resulted in completely satisfying achievement. In Malaysia, sexuality education has been integrated into secondary schools since 1989 and primary schools since 1994. It was part of various subjects. For example, science, language, Islamic education, moral education. But the thing is, Malaysians are still lack awareness of sexual harassment. All Women's Action Society, AWAM, has been working with many NGOs through the Coalition Joint Action Group for Gender Equality to draft and propose a sexual harassment bill for over 20 years. So Malaysia needs a Sexual Harassment Act, as this will create a safer environment free from sexual harassment in both public and private spaces.
All right, let's go for a very quick break. On the show with me today is Noor Amira Aisha, one of the participants and mock MPs in Undi 18's upcoming Parliament Digital sitting. After the break, I ask her why sex is considered a taboo topic in many parts of the world, including here in Malaysia. Keep it here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Noor Amira Aisha, one of the participants and mock MPs in Undi 18's upcoming Parliament Digital sitting. And we're talking about the importance of sex education, which is the topic Amira will be focusing on as a mock MP at the upcoming virtual parliamentary sitting. So, Amira, I want to follow up on something you brought up before the break. You said that, in Malaysia, that throughout the years they have sex education has been implemented in various forms, especially in science subjects. But yet you feel that there is a lack of sex education in the country. What is it that they are currently teaching in sex education? And why is it not enough to raise awareness about a lot of the issues that you think, needs a more awareness?
Say that sexuality education already in various subjects like science, language, Islamic education, moral education, but Malaysians are still lack awareness of sexual harassment, because in this subject, when teachers taught science, language, and Islamic education, they did not give the penekanan terhadap sex education.
Right.
But when we talk about sex education, we need the comprehensive sexuality education. Comprehensive sexuality education is a curriculum-based process of teaching and learning about the cognitive, emotional, physical, and social aspects of sexuality. So actually, comprehensive sexuality education aims to equip children and young people with knowledge, skills, attitude, and values that will empower them to realize their health, well-being, dignity, develop respectful social and sexual relationships. So it considers how their choices affect their own well-being and that of others, and understand and ensure the protection of their rights throughout their life. But this comprehensive sexuality education are not in the very subjects that I said to you before, the moral education, it just science, you know, biology, language, it just secara rentas curriculum. So because of that, we need the comprehensibility education.
Some people will listen to the word, oh, you want to empower young people and all these things, and they'll say, oh, so you're gonna, all you're gonna do is encourage teenagers to have sex. How do you, how would you respond to something like this?
This problem, those people who argue that sex education will only encourage teenagers to have sex, they might not have enough knowledge, or they are not aware what sex education is. Actually, sex education has positive effects, including increasing young people's knowledge and improving their attitudes related to sexual and reproductive health and behaviors. So without sex education, children will be more curious and started to access the internet by themselves. So I think this action will be more worried. And also, the problem with our society is our mindset. Stigma over sex education is a barrier in Malaysia. So when we talk about sex education, most people think sex education is all about sex. But it's not about that. This is happening because we don't get a proper sex education.
Why? Amira, is the topic of sex considered taboo? Because it's not just in Malaysia, but in many, many parts of the world.
This topic deemed as massively in a society structured cultural norms and values. So since it's a very private act where through compassion, many cultures do not allow open discussion about this topic. For example, Asia is one of the Asian countries, so Asian countries practice Asian values. So people, Asians, very reluctant to talk about regarding private matters. In Malaysia, the initial was called Family Health Education before it was renamed Sexuality Education in 2003. However, the term sexuality was perceived negatively by Malaysians. The module was renamed Reproductive Health and Social Education. So I think this is the reason why this topic of the topic of sex considered taboo.
Do you notice that there's a difference between other countries and Malaysia in terms of their approach to sex education?
For example, in Europe countries, Italy, Switzerland, for example, they actually have comprehensive sexuality education. So with the comprehensive sexuality education, they actually teach the children and young people with the proper education, the proper sexual education, knowledge, and, you know, about bodily autonomy and so on. So with this, they also added up with like hashtag MeToo movement, the campaign. So I think that that is the reason why we need education on the early age, and then we need to make also the campaign. So I think if that happened in Malaysia, we can have the proper sex education and people will have the awareness of why sex education is very important.
Amira, so there are also some who argue that perhaps, you know, if you do want to introduce sex education, comprehensive sex education and whatnot, what about, you know, we don't do go that route. We teach abstinence only education, teach abstinence only. That means you teach kids from a very young age that, you know, don't have sex. That's it. Well, what do you think of this approach?
I personally think that focusing on abstinence from sex is no solution to prevent teenage pregnancies and abortions. Abstain from sex is not the way to resolve the problem. We need to teach children the importance of bodily autonomy, mutual respect, and maturity in understanding consequences of one's actions. So in fact, Malaysia had ratified the Convention on the Rights of the Child, which protects the right of a child to education. And this includes the need for comprehensive sexual education. And also, studies have shown that well-designed comprehensive sexual education can increase the awareness on how to prevent pregnancy and, more importantly, sexually transmitted diseases, STDs.
Right. And, you know, I also want to ask, right, because the truth is, if you don't have open conversations about sex, especially with the right people, with people who have the right knowledge, such as teachers who are trained in the matter and whatnot, mm-hmm. And we don't have a comprehensive sexual education, it's not going to stop young people, teenagers, children from being curious, right? Because I remember when I was an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, we didn't have sex education in school. It doesn't mean that I wasn't curious and doesn't mean that I wasn't going to look for answers elsewhere. And I ended up doing it. I just asked my peers who are equally as dumb as me when it comes to this. I just asked them for their opinions. I will ask some seniors who also don't know anything about this. Or I will just go on the internet and I don't know what I'm searching, which kind of websites I'm searching, whether it's like X-rated websites or whatever. You know, just to get information, because we are curious, people want to know. We are going through changes and puberty and all of these things. What are the consequences of young people not being given the proper guidance from the experts who are, you know, there to guide, answer all their questions in an open and honest and transparent manner? What are the consequences of them just asking their friends for opinion or just going on the internet and looking at porn or whatever it may be and in search of answers?
Firstly, we need to know that children and young people do not think the same way as us, as grown-ups. So curiosity is a developmental part of their growth. So they will be more curious. And as we know, once something becomes forbidden food, it becomes much more appealing. So children who do not have an open, balanced, informed dialogue with their parents about online risks, about sex education, their curiosity and acceptable behaviors risk encountering images, videos, and texts that they are not emotionally or psychologically ready for. So, all in all, sex education is important to counter this issue.
All right. Before we wrap this conversation up, Amira, would you have a final message for us?
For me, due to these issues about sex education, I believe in bringing solutions that are more targeted and aim at changing the culture, system and structures of our society. So I urge the government I want to urge them to implement the sexual harassment bill as soon as possible, because the longer the time it takes, more and more people left vulnerable to atrocities and perpetrators are able to walk away from others. So a good sexual harassment law should not be exclusive to work-related sexual harassment incidents. It should accord protection to persons from all walks of life who are faced with unwelcome and inappropriate sexual remarks or acts. I strongly believe Asia has so much potential in achieving a safer environment, but these ongoing issues have to be addressed urgently. There is no more delaying in this. It has to be now, and it will start with us.
All right. On that note, Amira, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Dasher.
That was Noor Amira Aisha, one of the participants and mock MPs in Undi 18's upcoming Parliament Digital sitting. Parliament Digital will be taking place on the 9th of April. The mock parliamentary sitting is open to public. So if you'd like to find out more, if you'd like to watch the whole sitting, you can head over to Day One Muda Malaysia's social media pages. They're available on Twitter and Instagram. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can check us out on podcasts. We are available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dasharan Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.